Testament lesson today, the gospel lesson, I'm sorry, is from Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 39, and can be found on page 35 in the New Testament section of your Bible. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The word of God for the people of God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come? We know he performed miracles, and the reading that we have from Mark talks about his early ministry, just starting in a ministry. You know that last week he was in the synagogue and he read a scripture and read it with such authority that everyone that heard it recognized it as different. So different from what they had heard the scribes before read those same scriptures. I spoke that there had to have been this charisma, or there had to have been something about Jesus that was so evident to anyone that this was not anybody like anyone they had ever seen before. Comparisons to Moses and John the Baptizer. But Jesus came for a purpose and a reason. That purpose and reason was your salvation. He came to save you. The challenge for Jesus was he's appearing to a world that expects and anticipates certain things in evidence of power, certain things as evidence of fulfilling the prophets, because they were looking at what the prophets had said as a prophecy that can be fulfilled by a human being or something that they can see. Now, the prophet said that there would be blind who would be able to see, that those that were ill, bless you, my son, would be healed, that the lame would leap, the blind would see, the deaf would hear, and the dumb would speak. Jesus is in the process of fulfilling each of those prophecies. But here's the problem. When we look to see Jesus fulfill the prophecies, we look at these actions and deeds, we look at these miracles and say, this is why Jesus came. And if we do, we miss the most important, the longest lasting. Those 10 lepers, he heals all 10 of them. One comes back. Well, those 10 lepers are all going to die. 100 years after they were born, they're gone from the face of the earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Where's the power of that miracle if it's not in the retelling that the miracle occurred? Lazarus died, was in the tomb for 4 days. Mary and Martha waited patiently for Jesus to come, and they knew that if he had been there, Lazarus would not have died. Jesus stands outside the tomb and says, "Lazarus, walk out, and I'll spare you the Lazarus walk for me out of the tomb." But Lazarus dies again. You know, on that Sea of Galilee where the disciples were riding in a boat with Jesus and the storm comes up, and Jesus, they wake him up. He's asleep in the back of the boat. He's tired. They wake him up and he stands up and he says, "Be still." And the seas and the winds are calm. Well, today, again, there are storms on the Sea of Galilee. And on all the seven seas around the world, there are still storms. Yes, there are days when there are calm. The point I'm making is all of those miracles that we know are wonderful and give us evidence of Christ's authority and power and dominion over all things, life itself even, they're miracles. But the message throughout is that Christ comes to save. He comes to save us how? He comes to save us by spreading the good news so that you and I will know and understand with our hearts, with our minds, with our souls, with our strength. Jesus said when they challenged him, "What's the greatest of the commandments? Love thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself." Jesus gives us all these commands, as I spoke last week. These are commands. They're not suggestions. And he doesn't even have to raise his voice for people to know and understand that these are commandments. They're not suggestions for life. They're not, "Well, it would be nice if you did this." These are commands. Now, we don't always measure up to the commands. That's why grace is there. That thief on the cross, he'd lived a horrible life, but you know, that thief on the cross looked to Jesus and he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus tells him, "Sorry, Charlie, no." He says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Why? What did that thief do? He recognized Jesus Christ as Lord. He didn't ask for him to save his life. He said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." You know, if your name is written in the book of life, what is that? Your name's written in the book of life, and more importantly, it's written on the heart of Jesus Christ. When we appear before God in judgment, Jesus is going to say, actually, God's going to know already. Satan's throwing everything at us. "Oh, they did this," pulls out the sheet on us and all the things that we did wrong. God's going to look at Jesus, and Jesus says, "I know him. And we get to walk off into eternity with God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Why? Because of all the good things we did? No, but because we knew Jesus. Jesus came to save us. He came to save us, and he came to tell us about the good news of Christ Jesus, the good news of God. And he tells us how it is we're to love and live with one another. That we're not supposed to be comfortable where we are. We're not supposed to be comfortable in the sense that we are going to rest on our laurels, that we're not going to labor anymore. We delivered how many quarts of soup? Okay, we're done for a couple of months then, right? No? We're going to do it again? Well, how often are we going to do it? See, the point is Jesus tells us to do these things and not just do them once. Okay, check in the box. Off we go. No. for to do these things as long as he gives us the desire to do these things. We don't stop and we don't say, I did my fair share. One of the toughest things for people in church is, gosh, I've always done that. I'm always, you know, we as a body need to be more, you know what? Let's let someone else, let's encourage someone else to do it. Anybody see the bulletin board in there? Anybody see the bulletin board in there? Who did that bulletin board? Who? She did it again? Oh, hallelujah. But you know what? Doesn't have to be the same person all the time doing it. You know, we're But back to the sermon, in that what Jesus has come to do is he came to save us. And the scripture gives us a list, a day in the life of Jesus, as another pastor and I were talking about this. A day in the life of Jesus, what it meant for him. He comes into this house of Simon and sees his mother-in-law not well, and he lifts her up. And she goes and serves them. She goes about her business. The fever had left her. That evening at sundown, they're bringing everybody in to see him. And he's healing them. This is what Jesus is doing. Casts out demons. He wouldn't allow them to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. Jesus was never out of communion with God. When he expends that energy that is, you know, in the life, and he gets tired, he goes and he regenerates, rejuvenates, renews himself, refreshes himself. How? By being in prayer with God, being in conversation with God the Father. And you know what? Simon and his friends are hunting him down. Why? Because there are a lot more people that need to be healed. Oh, absolutely. You know what? There are a lot of people out there needing to be healed. I think at last count, maybe 6 billion. Maybe 7 billion. Who knows? Depends on who's counting. But that's a lot of people. He answered, "Let us go into the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And then he goes throughout Galilee proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. And yes, he's going to calm the Sea of Galilee. Yes, he's going to stand outside the tomb of Lazarus. Yes, he's going to spin around and rub that on the blind man's eyes, and he's going to be able to see. And yes, he's going to sit there when a bunch of leaders of the church bring this adulteress. Notice they didn't bring the guy. This woman who'd been caught in adultery, and they say, it says in the scriptures that she should be stoned. She was caught in the act. And Jesus is looking at them and looking at her, and he says, "Well, let he who is without sin cast the first stone." And one by one, they drop those stones and they all leave until Jesus is the only one there. "Where are your accusers?" They've all left. "And I do not accuse you." But this is one of the pieces that we so often miss. Jesus forgives us so we can go on about our business, doing whatever we want. No. When that lady rose up from there, he told her, "Go and sin no more." He does not leave us where we were. He works to change us into what God would have us be. because Christ goes to that cross. We're going to, you know, we're a week away from the start of Lent, where we celebrate and meditate and should be reading our scriptures and looking at our lives and seeing where we are and what we've done to be worthy of the price and the sacrifice that Christ has already made for us. Because he's already done it. It's not like we have to earn salvation or buy salvation by good deeds or by good works. That soup ministry isn't going to get us into heaven, but it might lead someone to Christ. The food bank by itself is not going to do it. Good deeds don't do it. Miracles don't do it. When Jesus performed those miracles and cast out those demons, he cast out those demons, but those people still need to recognize Jesus as Lord and Savior. Confess with their lips, believe in their hearts that Jesus is Lord, then they're saved. Jesus already did it for them. It's not the miracle. It's the message. Not the miracles. The message. Jesus comes to save. Jesus comes to bring the good news. Jesus comes to tell you unequivocally, without a doubt, that God the Father loves you. And he loves me. And he wants us to spend an eternity with him in heaven. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came to save. Jesus came to save. Yes, he died on a cross. Yes, he was buried in a tomb. Yes, he rose again. And yes, he will come back again. All of that Jesus came to do. But for you and me, probably the most important thing we can remember and accept and meditate on each and every day, not just for Lent, is that good news that Jesus has for us, that he came to save our souls and give us eternal life. Amazing, his love for us. It's amazing what he was willing to do for us. Listen to his good news. Listen to those commandments. Listen to his love call across the ages, not just by his action on the cross, but by the words and deeds that he gives us and what he tells us to do. Come and follow me. Come, take up your cross. Love one another as I have loved you. All of those are not just suggestions. Their commandments. Shalom. The peace of Christ be with you.